And here we go. Here we go. On this Monday evening in the city, it is the 29th day, I believe, of April. We are wrapping up April. This year is just absolutely flying by. April is about done. We'll be in May in the next few days. But for now, it's 6 o'clock. And, of course, each and every Monday evening at 6 p.m., you can experience Real Talk Memphis, which is where you're at right now. Glad to have you with us. Glad to be here. I am your humble host, Chip Washington, along with my crew, my gang, my folk. Everybody's here, Nicole and Lola and Bryn, and we're all happy to be here, be with you on a beautiful Monday evening in the city. We had some rain earlier today. Looks like it might be gone for the evening, and we'll keep our fingers crossed anyway, but the sun is out down here at the Crosstown Concourse. Glad you are in the house. Please stick around for the next hour. We, of course, have a little broadcast we do each and every Monday, and we're always happy to have you along for the ride. Now, there are many ways you can get this fine piece of radio broadcasting. Way number one, of course, is live and local on the radio. Right now, we are on 91.7. That is WYXR on your FM dial. You can also catch us on the WYXR app. We are on the TuneIn app. We are live streaming this evening on Facebook Live, if you'd like to take a peek. We are doing that. And, of course, when the show posts the next day or so, you can find us on YouTube. And as we are a podcast, yes, we are, you can catch us wherever it is you get your podcast. All right, very good. Everybody, all hearts and minds clear as I'm adjusting my phone as I volume up and confusing myself. But anyway. Glad to have you all out there. I think we have a good show for you tonight, and we look forward to our guests, as we always do. Councilwoman Yolanda Cooper Sutton will be joining us in just a few minutes, as a matter of fact. She is one of the newly elected body of council folks, and I will tell you this. She is a woman who is serious about what she does. She is serious about her position. She is serious about what she does. And she is serious about her obligation to the people of the city of Memphis. And she's going to be here to talk to us about a few things that are happening. Of course, the city council is preparing. This is budget season. And, of course, last week, the mayor announced a 75% proposed property tax increase. And we'll talk with her about that and a few other things as well a little bit later on. We're going to be talking with Brittany Thornton. Brittany is a county commissioner. And, of course, the county is preparing for budget season as well. I wanted to talk with Brittany about some of the things happening, you know, in the county commission world. And, you know, her focus on Orange Mound. This is an area that she is from and, you know, cares a great deal about. And I wanted to talk with her about some of the incidents that have been happening over there, and more importantly, how people are healing and recovering from all of that. And a bit later on in the broadcast, in the second half hour, we will have State Representative Jesse Chisholm joining us. He hadn't been on the show in a while. The legislative session in Nashville just ended late last week. So we wanted to grab him to talk to him about this session just ended, and some of the crazy legislation that was passed and signed into law by the governor. Not his words, my words. So I wanted to get his take on it. You know, he's a Democrat in a mostly Republican, super Republican majority House. And, of course, some of the legislative issues that were passed and signed into law direct are in direct conflict with what is going down here in Memphis and Shelby County. So we look to have a conversation with him a little bit later on in the broadcast as well. All right, well, you know, as we always do this time of the broadcast, we celebrate you. Birthdays on this last week of April, of course, if you had a birthday over the weekend or today or this week. In particular today, a busy day on the birthday front. This time of the broadcast is for you. This is when we shout you out to the entire country. Let everybody know it is your special day. Can't do that until we say, hit it, Brent.
Happy birthday.
A lot of birthdays to get to today, so let's do it. Happy birthday. Happy birthday is going out to my friend, Shanika Wall, celebrating her birthday today. Happy birthday, Shanika. As well as Charles Monger celebrating his birthday today. Happy birthday to another friend of mine, Sherry Neely, celebrating today. As is Kenneth German. He's celebrating his birthday today, Kenneth German. Candace Johnson, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Eddie Chambers. Happy birthday, Paul Jackson. Longtime friend and classmate of mine, way back in high school. Victor Chico Taylor celebrating a birthday today, as is Kedra Keeks Coleman. Teresa Jones, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Denise Lewis. Alton Hype Dog Palmore, a great, one-time great radio personality back in Jackson, Mississippi. Yeah, he used to do it. He used to do the doggone thing back in the day. Happy birthday, AP. And to my boy, Jermaine Black, photojournalist extraordinaire. We worked together at Channel 5. So, yeah, I know a lot of these folks today. And Lola, ladies and gentlemen, has stepped up to the mic. Lola.
Happy birthday to KJ. That is Miss Kendra Jones. Happy birthday, girl.
Happy birthday, Kendra Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, all of you having a birthday today, all of us here at Real Talk Memphis wanted to say congratulations. Happy birthday. We hope today has been filled with fun and laughter. And we hope to be around next year to celebrate your next trip around the sun. Thank you, Bryn. All right, so in news and notes, a few of them to talk about. Of course, last Friday evening, you know, Orange Mound has really been going through some dramatic instances here of recent. Of course, we know about the shooting at the block party 2 weeks ago. That happened. Another incident happened on Friday evening that summoned law enforcement, the Shelby County Sheriff's, the Memphis Police Department, and even the TBI involved. This was an officer-involved shooting. Apparently, Shelby County deputies were serving a high-risk warrant in the area. As they were doing so, an individual driving another vehicle drove in their direction towards them. Sheriff's deputies fired and killed that particular individual. There were three other individuals who were in the house that was being served the warrant. They have been arrested and charged with several gun, drug, and weapons charges. Three security guards were doing their job on Beale Street over the weekend, early Saturday morning, about 3:30, 3:40 in the morning, when they were shot and injured at the Tin Roof Memphis on Beale Street. That happened. Apparently, there was a fight inside of this business that they broke up, and they removed the individuals in question who were part of this fight. One of those individuals went to a vehicle, apparently got a gun, came back, and fired shots, wounding all three of these security guards. All of them, I think, are going to be okay. One of them is in critical condition, but I think he's stable. But once again, more violence and on Beale Street, downtown Memphis, where, you know, folks go to just hang out, get loose. But these days it's getting tougher and tougher. The governor of the state of Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee, signed into law some legislation that would allow teachers in classrooms all across this state to carry concealed weapons in their classroom. Now, He says, and the legislators say that they're not forcing anybody to do this. Every municipality has the right to say no thanks to that. They will determine whether or not they want to allow teachers to be armed in the classroom. I said it before and I'll say it again. That's one of the dumbest things I think I've ever heard. We're trying to get rid of more guns, and then you're going to add more guns now to people. And we don't know, if they're stable enough to be able to carry weapons or not. Especially when we have young folks out here who like to challenge authority every chance they get. So what if that happens in a classroom and the teacher gets nervous about a child threatening her or approaching them? Then what happens? Let's just wait and see. I do know that the new superintendent of education here in the Memphis and Shelby County School District, Dr. Marie Fagan, says she is not in favor of that. So I don't believe that we're going to have that issue down here in Memphis and Shelby County. Thank goodness for that, and good for her in terms of that. So, again, we'll see how many school districts around the state participate in this. But, boy, I'm telling you, man, you're talking about putting charcoal on a blazing fire. Charcoal fluid on a blazing fire with this one. So we'll see what happens. As I said earlier in the conversation, the mayor, Mayor Paul Young, and this is budget season for both the city and the county, he proposed a 75-cent increase in the property tax rate to the city council next week. Now, for many of us, we have to pay both city and county taxes, and that's not fun for anybody. In a city that is economically challenged as we are, for a lot of folks struggling, just to make it with the inflation being so high, prices being so high, and everything else, that's a lot of money. The city is trying to make up for over $30 million shortfall in their budget. And, of course, we will see what happens. I'm sure that many of the people out there who will be affected are going to call their local council folks and express their thoughts and opinions on all of this. And before it's all said and done, we shall see exactly what happens. Now, of course, some of the money will be used for other programs. They'll be used for cameras around the city to deter crime. Hopefully programs for young folks and some other things. But we will see how all of that shakes out. That's a look at news and notes on this Monday evening in the city. Glad to have you with us, by the way. It's always good to see folks out there. Well, I see Shanika Walls is watching us. John Edwards is checking things out. Michael Harris is doing his thing as well on Facebook Live line. And I hope that wherever you are, you sit back, relax, and enjoy us till 7 o'clock this evening. We're going to take our first break, however. And when we come back, we will continue on this Monday edition of Real Talk Memphis right after this.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest? Or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Amy, host of Sonosphere on Monday at 4 p.m. and you're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis. I'm here today to ask you to further your impact with the station with the city's soul by joining the ranks as a WYXR mid-level donor today. Join us in championing a more inclusive and informed world through the transformative power of the community radio. Visit midlevel.wyxr.org to become a mid-level donor at WYXR, where your investment paves the way for a brighter and more connected future. Mid-level donors enjoy exclusive benefits such as on-air acknowledgments, VIP passes to Raised by Soundfest, and the opportunity to step into the role of a guest DJ. More information about mid-level donations can be found at midlevel.wyxr.org.
Support for WYXR comes from Rootstock Wine Merchants. Located at 644 Madison in the Edge District, Rootstock is committed to bringing Memphis wines from small, independent producers with minimal intervention. More information on Rootstock's full selection of wine, beer, and spirits, and online ordering available at rootstockmemphis.com.
Programming on WYXR is brought to you by a grant from Arts Memphis, who has been working behind the scenes for 60 years to grow the foundation of Memphis arts.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday evening in the city. Chip with you. Very happy to have you with us as well. And very happy to have my my first guest tonight. She is a dynamic new member of the Memphis City Council. And let me tell you something. If you have never spoken with her, if you have never talked with her, the one word I can use to describe her is passionate. She does not play. She ran for this position to do some good in our city, and I am so happy to have her on the show. Please welcome, of course, Councilwoman Yolanda Cooper-Sutton. And Councilwoman, it is great to see you, my friend. How are you tonight?
I'm doing absolutely amazing. Thank you for asking, and thank you for having me on the show. And how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking as well, and glad to have you here. So, let's jump into this. You know, we're dealing with, obviously we have a lot of issues on our plate in terms of violence and other things that are going on in our city. But more importantly, you all in the council are preparing, the city's preparing their budget. It's budget season. And one of the things that we do know is that the mayor last week in presenting the budget, one of the things that he talked about was proposing a 75-cent increase in the property taxes, and first and foremost, I wondered what your initial take is on all of that.
Well, of course, this is my first budget season, so this is going to be very exciting, very intriguing, and I am listening very closely and attentively to the constituents here in Memphis. We are in a very critical place here in Memphis. And some critical decisions has to be made. And so we're going to look at this budget and really be very prayerful about it and listen to our constituents. But the most important is, how are we, as the people of Memphis, going to move this city forward?
Yeah,
and whatever it's going to take at this time.
Yeah, so, you know, he talked about the fact that there is about a $30 million deficit, in the city coffers right now, which part of this money would fund. He also talked about some additional things like some cameras, in the city and maybe some other programs. Just looking at it now, and I know that you're obviously in your phase of studying and seeing where everything lies. Do you think that he is in the right direction in terms of what he wants to do with the additional funding once they put back the $30 million? Should he get what he asked for in terms of the property tax?
What I'm really believing and hoping in and really very prayerful about and listening to the mayor, you know, we initially started as a partnership. This is the first time that the council in a long time and the mayor that we are trying to align ourselves into for the betterment of this city.
Right.
As a young mayor, you know, this is his first term, and we walked into a mess. Let's just be honest about it. Let's just deal with what's up front. It was in a very, very bad state when we walked into this. And so I think the city of Memphis and the citizens of Memphis and everybody knew what we were up against. And we are up against a lot of challenges. Yes, we are $30 million in the hole, a big gap. And then the total is a negative $53
million. Oh, wow.
And so there is a lot of stuff. He said it on the budget.
Right.
If you watch the budget, if you watch the council meeting, he, to me, and I'm very grateful for the mayor, and I had a lot of young people they were very pleased with the presentation. It was self-explanatory. It was easy to digest. And if you had any questions, everything was there aligned for the first time in a long time had we had a presentation that easy and that accessible to understand to ordinary citizens like myself and the constituents here in Memphis. We're going to work this out, Chip. We're going to work it out. It's going to work out for the best for the city of Memphis.
What in your short time on the as a councilwoman, what have you seen to this point that are some of the things that bother you the most about where the city is right now, where our communities are headed? What bothers you the most?
It really doesn't bother me. It's the truth. So I don't let much bother me. I just deal with truth and facts. There's never and has not been enough accountability in this city and enough oversight. Accountability and oversight.
Those are the
there has not been enough of that. And the constituents being left out and not being a part of what has been happening in this city for so many years. Accountability and oversight.
Are we in a phase now with the current city council that I know you want to address it and I know you're going to address it, but do your colleagues feel the same way about the fact that there really hasn't been much, as you say, accountability and oversight previous to your taking the seat?
Yes. Yes. And if you go back and just review and watch some of the council meetings, you will see a different take and a different approach on how we are appointing, the questions that are being asked, and how the citizens and the constituents are more involved, how we are really dealing with what's real, what's up front. It's hard, but we gotta deal with it. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's an old saying, there's a cause and effect. Cause you did this is the effect of what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we look over the landscape, and I remember seeing you at a committee meeting a few weeks ago, you say that, you know, a lot of us, we understand, or you as a body in particular, you as an individual in particular, you know what the problems are. We know that we have poverty. I think there was a presentation by the chamber that was made to you, and you basically let them know that, you know, in no uncertain terms, that we understand the challenges our city faces. We understand the economic challenges. We understand the economic disparities. We understand the poverty. We don't need to see a presentation. I think your line was, you know what, we need to stop talking about it and do something about it.
That is correct.
And you were very vehement in your comments. What got you so fired up about that? I'm just curious.
It wasn't what I was so fired up. I've been in this city for almost 29 years, and I've watched over and over. I've listened. So I've kind of like been in the background, and everybody, where's she come from? Who is she? Where's she come from? Nobody knows who she is. Who is Yolanda Cooper Sutton? Well, I was a citizen, a constituent, a resident here in Memphis that have watched our people, the people that we elect, that supposedly should have been doing a great job representing us, making sure that we move the needle, we were moving forward instead of 20 years behind. I see the same people doing the same thing, talking the same crap, and nothing is happening. They go from position to position to position to position. It's like a recycle bin. And you do nothing. You do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep repeating the same thing over and over and over and over again. And it's just time out for it. We've had poor representation, but not on this watch, not on my watch.
I think one of the things is very, very clear to people who know you and have seen you in action and have watched you so far is that you're going to get to the bottom of whatever the issues are. Do you see, in terms of the criminal activity in our city now, which is really crippling so many of us now in our city, and I heard somebody say to me not too long ago, they felt like the city was on fire. A lot of our young folks are, you know, going down the wrong path. There's a lot of misdirection, a lot of kids missing school, a lot of other intangibles going on with this. As you look at all of this up close and personal, Councilwoman, what are some of the fixes you would like to see as we move forward?
Some of the fixes that first need to be seen, and they'd like to see, is just what it is. Parents, be responsible for your children. I wasn't there when you laid and played and got them, and now you want the whole city and everybody else to help you try to take care of them. Yes, there's a responsibility, but you are responsible for your children. You were not going to deal with me or any of my siblings without my parents. You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
And they had less than what these children got now.
That seems to be the clarion call, as far as I'm concerned these days. The legislature in Nashville passed a law that the governor signed allowing teachers to have guns in the classroom. If the district decided to do it, I said earlier that the superintendent of education here is not going to allow that. But what is your take on that? I thought we were trying to do something to control guns and the gun violence instead of putting more guns in people's hands. I just wanted to kind of get your thought about that.
I think that was the most idiotic thing that anyone could do, to put guns in teachers' hands and to put them in our public schools, where most of, you know, some of the killings and different things, we know Covington, what happened in Nashville.
Right.
And I totally concur and I stand with what the superintendent said and everyone else is saying. Guns, this is a systematic problem. If we actually want to deal with the root cause, it's just another way of the system dealing with us, with laws and policies. That's just another way of dealing with it, Chip. And if we be honest with each other, it's a system problem.
Yeah.
We know the root cause. It's a system problem. Some of these things have been deliberately done to us. To us. If it wasn't crack, everything. Crack didn't kill us, and now they're putting guns in our baby's hands. But there are laws. You have to be 18 years old. So we don't have boats. We don't have planes. We don't have any of those things to get these guns over here in the city like that. So where are they getting them from? Who's selling them to our children?
A very good question. One of the things that we talk about, you know, in reference to the guns, and you mentioned it, there seems to be a louder cry now in the community and with a lot of people talking about what you talked about a minute ago with some passion, which is the responsibility of parents. Parents have to take more responsibility in the actions that some of their children take. Your 14-year-old is not in this room at 2 o'clock in the morning and running around on the streets. Somebody needs to be responsible for that. And that's kind of what you said. That does need to be the battle cry these days, does it not? Or one of them anyway?
That is so important, Chip. Yes, it needs to want to be one of the most important battle cries. If you're 14-year-old, you're 13-year-old, you're 12-year-old, and you don't know where they are, that is a huge, huge problem. Where is the parent? Where is the guardianship? Where is the guardian? Who is responsible for these babies? They're children. Come on now, Chip. We've been children before. Come on now. Come on. Let's be real.
Yeah, absolutely that. Well, listen, I wanted to get you back on the show because you're one of the most honest, forthright, genuine people that I've ever known in a position that carries a lot of weight. And it also carries a lot of heat too. So I would look forward to seeing what happens down the road, how we work on some of the problems that we have in the city. But one thing I do know about you is that you are a hopeful optimist. You are an eternal optimist. You have said that our city, the best of our city is yet to come. Am I correct in that?
That is correct. That is correct. And anytime you work hard for anything, you work hard for the best, there are going to be some growing pains. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
There's going to be some growing pains with anything that you work hard for, that you want to see the betterment for. A couple things: oversight, accountability. Because you did that, there's an effect. equity and opportunity. We deserve that here in Memphis. We deserve those things. We deserve those things. My other brothers and sisters, my other color brothers and sisters, you hardly ever see them. You hardly ever really see them. So my thing is, what's their secret? Tell us what's going on over there so we can get it right over here. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, ma'am. Well, listen, Councilwoman Yolanda Cooper Sutton, I really appreciate you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. And I thank you for your open and your honest assessment of things. I really appreciate you. And if you don't mind, I will be calling on you down the road as things come up. I hope that's okay with you.
That is okay with me. I was elected by the people. That city council seat I sit in, that's the people's seat. And I was elected by the people to represent them. And I'm the voice for the voiceless. Those that don't have a voice, I'm their voice. And those that do, I'm going to shout it loud to the rooftop for them.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show tonight and talk to our listeners. I really appreciate you. And I'll be talking to you down the road, okay?
I appreciate you, Chip. And thank you so, so kindly. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilwoman Yolanda Cooper Sutton, ladies and gentlemen, you heard what she said. She represents the people. The people elected her, and she has a job to do, and she's going to do it. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to another elected official, this time on the county side. This is Real Talk Memphis. I'm Chip. You know who you are. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Support for WYXR comes from Trezvent, located in the heart of Memphis at 177 North Highland. Trezvent is where culture and community come together, offering independent living apartments and garden homes ranging from 650 to 3,000 square feet, as well as all levels of care in assisted living, memory support, and a 5-star health and rehab center. More information to schedule a tour at trezventmanor.org. Support for WYXR, including our 2024 stereo sessions, comes from VIA Productions. Founded in 2003, VIA specializes in audience engagement, creating all types of video and audio content ranging from animation to documentaries. More information on how VIA can bring your brand story to life at viaproductions.co.
Did you know you could donate your vehicle and support WYXR at the same time? We offer free pickup and it's tax deductible. Go to cars.wyxr.org to donate your car today.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday evening, Chip with you. And I'm very happy to have my next guest with us. She has been on this broadcast. Excuse me, I'm dropping stuff here. She's been on the broadcast before, and I've always loved her thoughtfulness and her opinion. She is, if not the youngest, I think she is the youngest member of the current county commission. She is Brittany Thornton. And Brittany, it is good to see you, and I'm happy that you could join us this evening. How you doing tonight?
Chip, always a pleasure. Thank you for extending this invitation.
Look, thank you for being here. And of course, you know, I wanted to talk with you because, you know, obviously, anytime the proud community of Orange Mound is mentioned, you know, I think about you because I know how passionate you are about that community. And I remember seeing you online a couple of Saturdays ago talking about the incident that happened over at the park there. And I guess you were driving around or you were somewhere in the neighborhood and you were I could just tell by the way you were talking about all of the police activity and all the folks running here and the cars going here and there. And this was a pretty serious situation. So when it was all said and done, I just kind of wanted to get your impressions on what happened and why it seems so difficult for us to get together, at a gathering that just seemed like a block party, folks hanging out. I don't know a whole lot about it, without something like this happening, and kind of what your impressions were as you were sort of in the midst of that evening.
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I'll try. There's so many layers to it. So the video that you saw was me at my house, actually. So the incident that happened at the park was a couple of streets down from where I live. Mm-hmm. I'm a current resident in Orange Mound, and was just coming from the community center. We were celebrating our high school, it was actually school-aged children. They were middle school, high school students that are a part of the basketball team there. So to see, really just like one age group and then that next age group up, if you look at the people who were impacted in the park, there were 19. 20, 21, 23, I think there was a 29-year-old. So you're talking about a different age bracket. Mm-hmm. And so, first of all, we're at the point where the gun laws has us talking about the loss of life at such a young age. And so I just always pause just to say, like, we're playing high stakes games here. Once a life is lost, it's not coming back. And so we, in a park in our community, had multiple young people get killed. And so we're in crisis mode. I always tell people that we have to pay attention to who we send up to the state and what's happening. Like when it comes down to it, like we need to involve ourselves with the affairs of the state, because the gun laws are definitely negatively impacting us as an urban county. And so there's no reason why, folks who are still developing should be able to have the weaponry that we saw from the images in the park. And so when you think about it, we got a number of people on the ground that are doing street intervention work. Mm-hmm. And recently I've been talking to them and just asking them about the people that they're working with. And one thing that stands out to me is that so many of the people that they are working with are housing insecure. You have young adults that are couch surfing. And that's why housing, literally in my office, it's housing, transit, and economic development are the top priorities for me as a commissioner. And I'm just reminded that if we do not support them in their most basic of needs, then, we won't be able to reach them. And so for me, it's just after that event, everyone was looking to me as an elected to want to like talk about what are you going to do and what is being done. And I'm just like, this is a hard to reach group. People have to understand that these are not school aged children. It's easy for us to go and do an intervention at a school. It's hard to get an 18, 19, 20-year-old to come to a meeting, to convene them. They're not coming to your town hall meetings. They're not coming to your churches. They're not coming to more the conventional places. And so we're in a crucial place where we have to acknowledge some ugly truths, is that we cannot actually reach this group. The people who can reach them, we need to teach them how to be a better influence. So it's a loaded topic, but I enjoy talking about this conversation because it's something I've been talking about for a while now. Yeah. We can't continue to serve some and not all. And definitely this group has been overlooked for a while.
You used the term a minute ago that caught my attention, couch hopping. A lot of these people are couch hopping and going from place to place, basically, is what you're saying. And with no permanent residence. We all have heard almost ad nauseum about the fact that we're all very aware that poverty is a big issue here in Memphis and Shelby County. That's one of the things that needs to be addressed. And you have been talking about this for a very long time. There is one thing I do know about the Orange Mound community. There's a tremendous amount of pride there. Especially from folks who have lived there, who were born there, who were raised there, who grew up there, and who still live there. Many of our seniors are proud residents of Orange Mound, and they have to be. And I've talked to many of them, and they have to be very disappointed and a bit dejected as to what seems to be a disconnect between the elders and this younger generation who seems to have a mindset all their own. Now, you're a young woman, but you obviously have a focus and you have a direction and you have a purpose. But what, in your estimation, is the disconnect between the older generation and some of the younger folks in that area?
Yeah, this disconnect has been happening to me. You know, it really started with my generation. I'm 34, mm-hmm. and I am the youngest woman elected to the Shelby County and currently the youngest commissioner. I'm the only Black millennial on my body. So mm-hmm. I literally hold a space for a race and gender and age group. And so I feel, you know, like a lone wolf at times mm-hmm. crying out, trying to tell people, listen, our circumstances are very different. What's interesting is, when I read headlines and I see youth that are committing crimes that are 13, 14, and 15, their parents are in my generation. So you have to think, like, if the parents of the school-age children are not able to teach certain things, how were they taught? And so it's really, what we're talking about is classism in the Black community. I mean, I would love for us to just explicitly talk about how there are tale of two experiences going on within the Black community. Poor Blacks are very different than middle class, upper middle class, affluent Blacks, right? Mm-hmm. And the agendas of both are not being met. And so you don't have a lot of people who are holding space for the poor Black issues. And so when you're talking about people who don't have the basic needs met, we're talking about people who don't have housing, people who don't have access to cars, people who are isolated into disinvested communities, people who are poorly nutritioned, people who are going into underrolled and underperforming school. What type of outcome do we think is going to happen? Like, I'm just trying to figure out. We make it seem like the behavior is so much of a disappointment or a shock. But when you're in these environments, like, what else do you think is going to be produced? One of the times that I came on your show before, literally, I'm sure I was talking about, you know, homeless intervention. And yes. Believe it or not, yes. That shelter that we opened up 3 years ago, some of the same people that we housed 3 years ago are still on the streets.
Wow.
Still on the streets. Do you understand? Wow. So it's just like, yeah. The poor Black neglect is just catching up with us. And I remember a while back ago, I saw this quote. It was like, the poor will eat the rich. And I just thought, I was like, wow, what a shocking, jarring statement. But now you understand it, because it's just like the poor are just like, I literally have nothing else to do but fend for myself, right? Like, and that is the state that we're living in. And it's just so sad to be in government and see how that type of mentality is formed, because we continue to celebrate service to some and we do not create all-encompassing vision for all. Your government should be able to hold space to create a vision for everyone to be prosperous. Execution can be, you know, something that you put on a timeline. But right now, what we're doing is we're letting our tax dollars be invested into lackluster plans. And whoever gets left out is now turning into multiple generations of people who are neglected. And so it's like, literally, people do not know how to teach betterment because they're so disconnected from it. So when people moved out of the urban core and they started to do the white flight thing and Black flight happened, that was at a cost to the urban core communities that continue to drive through South Memphis, drive through North Memphis.
Yeah.
Like, I have driven through other districts and it's so sad. I don't understand that people don't see what I see, but drive through, it looks like the deep parts of Mississippi. So we cannot act like the people who are living there are going to have the same outcomes as us in our gated communities, or even in our organized communities where we have neighborhood associations supporting us. So that's just it. I think it's very natural what's happening now. It's very unfortunate. And if we want it to change, we're going to have to hold space for people who need support.
Well, listen, I have to let you go, but I will say this about you. It is a good thing that you're on the county commission, because they need your voice. There is an underrepresented population, as you described very capably, that and you're holding a space for that needs to be represented, and they need to have a voice like yours representing them. And I think that you can bring a lot of awareness to some of your older colleagues and some of the folks who've been around. It may not see things from the same lens that you look through, and which I think is vitally important in times like this. So I'm really thankful that you are on that commission and that your voice will continue to be heard and that you will make a difference for all of us one day. I really appreciate you. I really, really do.
Thank you. Thank you. Tell everybody on May 6th, Monday, I want to see you 3:00 at the commission. If you believe in this message, then let's pull a public comment card and speak to it.
Sounds like a plan. County Commissioner Brittany Thornton. Brittany, thank you so much, Donna. We will talk down the road. I promise you that.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about state government politics with a young man who was front and center of it all. This is Real Talk Memphis. I'm Chip. We're having a great conversation on this Monday evening. A quick break, and we'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Yo, yo, it's Chemist here, host of Computer Noise Radio, and I'm here today to ask you to consider donating to WYXR. When you donate to WYXR, you're no longer merely a listener. You're a vital part of our WYXR community. Becoming a member is incredibly valuable for community radio, allowing us to budget, plan, and increase the ways we serve Memphis. Join us in shaping the future of local radio now at WYXR.org/donate.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this beautiful Monday evening in the city. Chip with you. And very happy to have a young man who's been on the show before. He just finished a very busy legislative session in Nashville. He is State Representative Jesse Chisholm. And Jesse, it's great to see you. How you doing this evening?
Hey, man, it's better to be viewed, it better be seen than viewed. I'm just glad to be here, man.
I'm glad to have you here. So listen, right at the top, I've said this before and I have no problem saying it to you because I know you fight for a different cause. But your Republican colleagues up there, some of the initiatives that have been passed, some of the laws that have been set and signed into law by the governor are just absolutely so against it seems, Memphis and Shelby County in so many ways. And I just kind of wanted, as a Democrat, one of the few Democrats up there in that house, wanted to get your take on what you thought of this session that just ended.
Oh, where do I begin? We've done a lot to hurt Tennesseans this past session. You know, we passed laws to arm teachers, you know, as if teachers don't have enough to do. We've rolled back some things we've done here in Memphis to make sure law enforcement has better relationships with our communities. They pushed vouchers to the point where it made people sick to their stomachs. It's been one of those years.
How do you? I think I lost your audio, Jesse. I see you're talking, but I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't hear you. I didn't hear the last few things you said there. I got you back now.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you now.
Okay, got
you. A couple of these, legislative pieces here, like you talked about the guns in the classroom with the teachers, and we lost two judgeships. They overturned the ordinances that were passed by our local municipality. You know, one of your colleagues wants to add 6 new members to the Memphis and Shelby County School Board who aren't even elected, just appointed, just move them in there because he didn't think that they were doing the job. I mean, honestly, you're in that House chamber. And again, you all fight or try to fight. You know, it's like snowball going uphill. I mean, it's like the more common sense legislation that has tried to be passed continues to be to get rejected over and over and over again. Now, we always say the best way to change this is to get out and vote. But clearly, the legislative body up there does not seem to be listening to any constituents, and it doesn't have to do with race or anything else. And I mean, that seems extraordinarily troubling to us. How about you?
Well, I think they've done enough damage in their prospective districts where there may be some change this time, I believe, because they, obviously a lot of our colleagues did not listen to the constituents. They did not listen to the people of Tennessee. And as you spoke earlier, a lot of bills, a lot of policies that went forth this year proved that they were not listening.
Well, you know, one thing about it, one thing about all of this is, you know, we've always talked about the battle of the ballot box and how we can change these things. But the gun situation, Jesse, is one I know you've been fighting and many of your colleagues have been fighting over and over again. And I know that during this off-time session, you know, when you go at town hall meetings and talk to your constituents, they're going to give you an earful because I don't think there are too many people that are very happy with the direction of where we're going. Now, you mentioned the voucher situation. The governor couldn't win that battle. How big a deal was that for you?
And that was a huge deal. Matter of fact, that was, you know, even though as Democrats, even as Black caucus members, we're in the minority of a minority, right?
Right.
But we were able to find people on the other side of the aisle that agreed with us enough to the point where we was able to kill that. Because, you know, public education is really important. Our public schools have fought the good fight, have been on the front lines of educating our kids for such a long time. And it just would be a shame to dismantle everything that they've been doing.
You know, one of the things that we heard lately up there was the effort by the governor. And this left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths about what happened at the Tennessee State University. And the fact that they wiped out the entire board of trustees, the ones that were in there, and replaced them with all of his handpicked individuals to now govern that school. Granted, there were some financial issues and some other issues, some other problems that the school had. But on the back end of this, Jesse, we hear, and this comes from the federal government, that the state of Tennessee owes Tennessee State University almost $2 billion, you know, for days gone by. And I just wonder, is there anything that can be done legislatively to try to fix that situation in terms of getting back some of the money that school is owed?
But we're looking at everything at this point. We're looking at everything from pieces of legislation to lawsuits to reaching out to the federal government about it because, you know, they mentioned some things that Tennessee could have done better, but to me, all of those things could have been fixed with dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And by the fact that the state has been holding their dollars for such a long time is just a shame. You know, we have so many institutions that are well-funded, that's able to do all the things that they envisioned for their students, for their faculty. But Tennessee State, they were sent into a boxing match with their hands tied behind their backs. And you know, it's just a shame how it was done. And even with the board, you know, I think there are some good people that have been picked on that board. But at the same time, we still wanted some people on that board who would know where the breadcrumbs were that led us to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have that institutional knowledge that's not there anymore. And I'm interested to see how that goes. I'm hesitantly optimistic that things can get better, but Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, we have to fund our only Black land grant institution.
And having said that, and I know a lot of your Democratic colleagues feel exactly the same way. You know, as I look at the landscape of what happened, I'm sure that many of the Republican colleagues are very proud of this session. But I mean, clearly there is a diminishing and continues to be a diminishing attitude. And this is just my thought about what happens down here in Memphis and Shelby County. And I use the word disconnect a lot in a lot of different circumstances, but there is no greater disconnect than what happens in the supermajority Republican state house in Nashville and what happens in Memphis and Shelby County. Now, you've been in the house now for some time. And as you look at this and as you talk to some of your colleagues on both sides of the aisle, where does this come from and what is it about?
Well, the 6 years that I've been in the General Assembly, there's always been an air of Memphis versus everybody. Or better put, everyone versus Memphis.
Right.
You know, Memphis is the soul of the state. We give the state its culture, its food, we give this state the thing that it should be proud of.
Sure.
And many of our colleagues from across the state, they focus on the things that that Memphis struggle with. But there's so much great. That's so much greatness in Memphis. There's so many great people. There's so many great things to do in Memphis. And we have to do a better job of highlighting those things because, you know, I get a little upset sometimes whenever someone wants to bring up something bad, they bring up my city. I don't like it because, you know, some of the struggles that Memphis has, that's not a Memphis thing. It's something that happens across the state. You know, when some of my colleagues across the aisle, they mention Memphis, the first thing they follow up with is crime. And of course, there are some things we have to do as regards to crime, but crime happens all over this country. Mm-hmm. So we got to continue to fight them on this. We got to continue to make sure that Memphis is in a good light.
Well, listen, my friend, I'm proud of the efforts that you guys fight hard up there, and I know it's a tough fight. But you know, keep fighting. We need somebody to fight for our city. We need somebody to fight for our people. And maybe one day people will really understand the power of voting and how important that is. If you want to see substantial change, vote some of these rascals out and vote some folks in that actually care about what we care about and push them to move forward. But thank you for taking the time to come on the show tonight. I appreciate you. I know it's been a tough session, and I know you're going to have a busy off session dealing with your constituents, but you know you're always welcome back on the show anytime, my friend. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right, my friend. Have a great night. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to put the wrap on this one. Great conversation. Three elected officials tonight, and they all gave their interesting perspectives as Bryn plays us out. Thank you for being a part of this broadcast, as you always are. If you miss it live, you can always go back and catch it on my Facebook page. We live stream every week. This is a podcast, and if you're a podcaster, which many of you are, in the next couple of days, once it's posted, you can go wherever you get your podcast and hear this particular broadcast. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your encouragement. And keep doing that. And if we're doing a good job, please let other folks know about Real Talk Memphis. And if the Lord says so, we'll be back here next Monday night. Try to do it again just a little bit better. So for Bryn, for Nicole, and for Lola, I'm Chip. And we are out. See you next week. It's real talk.